Welcome to the Gene Oliver Podcast, where we talk all things business, art, and lifestyle. This is your podcast for building a more creative life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I am excited to be interviewing my friend and mentor, Weldon Long. He is a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of The Power of Consistency. He also is the author of Consistency Selling and The Upside of Fear. He is one of the most dynamic speakers I've ever heard. And he, don't laugh, it's true.
Thank you. You're making me blush.
He mentors and speaks to Fortune 500 companies all over the country. And so, Weldon, welcome to the podcast.
Gene, so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's really fun to have you on the podcast, especially because you've been such a huge influence to us in our business. And your book, The Power of Consistency, was a book that I read pretty early on in our business. And as you know, when you were at our home once, you mm-hmm. saw it on our shelf and it had tons of underlining and highlights and notes. Yes. Yeah. And so I wasn't just trying to make you feel good about it. I actually loved the book. And what I would love for you to talk about and kind of start off with, I think your story is incredible. I think the cycle that you ended in your life is inspiring for anybody that's listening. Would you give a short recap of a little bit of the backstory in your life and business?
Happy to do it. And again, thank you, Gene, for having me. And it's just been a real pleasure watching you guys grow your business and the various stages you guys have gone through. And so I'm just really excited for you and your team and what you're doing. Yeah, my life has been kind of a crazy peaks and valleys kind of thing. I spent 25 years of my life on the streets, starting when I was 15 years old, a high school dropout. Ended up spending 13 years in prison between 1987 and 2003, that roughly 16-year period. I spent 13 years walking prison yards. And my life was just a life of poverty and self-destruction and just really a very difficult life, most of which, all of which really, I brought on myself. And, you know, what happened is in 1996, I was in prison. I'd been to prison twice before. I had served about 6 years, and I was doing a 7-year sentence in the federal system. And on June 10th of 96, my father passed away. And I was 32 years old, a high school dropout, a punk and a thug and a loser. And for the first time in my life, I started to look at my life and realized, you know, what a knucklehead I had done and the people I had destroyed and the lives I had destroyed and the relationships I had destroyed. I just made a simple decision, Gene. I'm going to change the course of my life. And I made that decision on June 10th of 1996, really about 4 hours after my father died. And the challenge for me then was how do you do that? How do you turn this, you know, Titanic of a life around? And so I got the brilliant idea of reading books, you know, and find out what really successful people did. And that's what I did for the next 7 years. And 7 years later, at 39 years old, I was released from prison into a homeless shelter. I lived there for about 6 months. But within 5 years, I had built an Inc. 5000 company. I sold that company and started writing books. And, you know, it's just been just a real whirlwind of, you know, rags to riches kind of thing. And it all came down to changing my mindset, you know. And I think it's the single most important thing you talked about in your business, The Power of Consistency. It's about having the mindset to thrive in the face of difficulties, because you're going to face challenges in your life and in your business. And so I just applied many of the tools that I read and kind of put them in my own little model, my own little source of understanding, and it completely changed the course of my life.
One of the quotes that I share in our live business workshops is your quote that says, "Everything you need to do to build a life of wellness and prosperity is easy. It's just a little bit easier not to." And right. What's so crazy is every time I read that to people, the whole room goes, "Oh." I mean, they literally react to that because it's so true that right. We can look at what other people are doing, and it's that consistency factor that they're making choices every day of how to have a different and a better life and business. Right. In your books, you really talk again and again in your books and in your coaching, and even when I see your online meetups and your Facebook groups and things that you do, you talk about again and again about focus. You talk about being emotionally connected to your goals. You talk about consistent actions and then taking responsibility for our actions, each one of us. And I would really like to focus on these a little bit because you are very articulate and clear, and you don't have to be too wordy to get really clear on each one of these areas. And so when you say focus, but you know, focusing on the activities that produce results. So how do you guide a sales team? How do you guide a business to know what activities to actually focus on so they're able to execute these consistently?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things I often say and believe, and I've written about it, is that the number one challenge for people in sales and business, it's not a lack of motivation, a lack of desire, or a lack of ability. It's a lack of focus. People get distracted and work on the wrong things. And, you know, we've all heard the old Pareto principle, 80% of your results come from 20% of your activities. And I think that's so true. You've got to look at your business. And in your business, there are a handful of things that produce results. And there's 100 other things that may keep you busy. You know, they like people all the time say, I'm so busy. But you got to look at the produced results. And so in your business, the key is to focus on, number one, what do I want, right? Get some clarity. One of my favorite books, and you and I have talked about it before, is Think and Grow Rich. 100 years ago, Napoleon Hill interviewed the 500 most successful people on the planet, you know, in the early 1900s. And in his book, he talked about the 17 principles that they all had in common. And the first one of those was a definite purpose, focus. People know exactly what they're working on. So I find that if individually or as an organization, what exactly are we trying to accomplish? Whether it's a revenue goal, a market share goal, whatever, how you want to measure the goal doesn't matter. But it has to be specific. You got to get focused on the thing you want. Listen, we all know the power of focus. If you focused on one thing exclusively, let's say you wanted to build a house, and the only conversations you would have with people were about building that house. The only books you would read were about building a house. The only thing you would dream at night was about building a house. If you just obsessively focused on that house, the likelihood of you eventually building that house are pretty good, right? Because we all know the power of focus. The reality is sometimes, however, we can't always stay focused on the things we want because there's so many distractions in life. So the key is to find, what are the main things I want to accomplish in life? And I break it down to three categories, as you know: your financial well-being, your relationships, and your health. What are the three? What are the things I want to accomplish in those three areas the most? You have to have a definite purpose. You have to have clarity. Otherwise, you end up spending so much time on busy work rather than the two or three activities that will grow your business. I mean, think about your business. You guys have built a wonderful business over the last, you know, 10 years or 15 years. And I guarantee you, if you sit back and say, okay, what are the two or three things that really produce results for us? You can figure out what those are. And once you figure out what those are, then you have to focus on executing on those things. And Lao Tzu said, what? 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step. You got to get focused on the one or two things every single day that will move you towards your business objective. Whether it's a financial goal, again, a market share, it doesn't matter what it is. Maybe it's a lifestyle business goal. That's fine too. But what are the one or two things you can do every single day to move you closer to that? You got to get focused on those things and make sure you're executing every single day on those things and making sure you don't get distracted by the other, you know, the other busy work. You got to have that focus. It's so critical.
Well, and then your next kind of key point is to be emotionally connected to the goal. And one of the key elements of our online business curriculum is for people to be super clear on how they want their life to look and feel. Because otherwise, there's no emotional reason for you to work so hard and to have direction. So how do you help a team to emotionally connect with these intentions? And maybe even, I don't know, this is kind of getting off of it a little bit, but there's people here that are going to be listening that they actually lead a team. How do you help a team to be emotionally connected with a bigger picture that's not just about their life and their how they want their life to look and feel, but the business goal? How do you encourage that in elite leadership roles?
Absolutely. It's so important because, again, I love Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and these 17 principles. The first one, as I mentioned, was definite purpose, focus. The second one he mentioned, and by the way, out of 17 principles in that book, there's only two he mentioned on the first page. The first was definite purpose. The second was a burning desire. You have to have a burning desire to achieve your dreams. It cannot be a passing want like, okay, I want to be successful this much and I'll do it if it's not too much difficulty. You have to want it this much, that you'll do whatever you have to do, whatever amount of work, whatever sacrifice you have to make, that you want it that bad. And to do that, you have to get deeply emotionally connected to your dreams, to the things that you want, right? You have to have, and in fact, in Napoleon Hill's book, he talked about when you have your dreams, you have to imagine yourself already in possession of these things. And so to me, what emotional commitment means is that you have to get everything that you want. Step one, focus, figure out what you want, what you have to do. Step two is get emotionally committed. That requires writing it down and reviewing it for a few minutes every single day. And as you review these dreams, as you review these things you want to do, you have to allow yourself to get excited and get emotionally connected to them. If you think about how a human creates memories, think about any memory from your life, from when you were a little girl, 8, 10, 12, 14 years old, whatever. Think about that briefly for a second. And I guarantee you, when you think about that memory, it's connected to a powerful emotion. You were very happy or very sad or very scared or very something, right? Because that's how we create memories in our brain. Something happens and we catch an image and then we attach it to a powerful emotion. And guess what? 30, 40 years later, you can remember it like it was yesterday. So the key is we have to get that kind of emotional commitment to the things we want in our life, mm-hmm. right? I can tell you that in my personal situation, when I started reading these things and learning these things, was in 1996. I was in prison. I still had 7 years to go. And I sat down and I wrote out what a perfect life for me would look like. And it's so important to write it out. You got to write it out. What do I want? What do I have to do? What do I want? I call it a prosperity plan. And I wrote out what a perfect life for me would look like. I took that sheet of paper and I put toothpaste on the back four corners and I stuck it to the wall of my cell. And for the next 7 years, every single day, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, I would review that list. And little by little by little, as I reviewed that list, I would imagine myself, you know, living this life, living this amazing, existence and family and love and wealth and prosperity. And little by little, I got deeply emotionally committed. And it literally will change the neural connectors in our brain and help us carve new neural pathways, new memories, new thought patterns. One of the things that happens for all of us is that we get in these kind of ruts of thoughts. And people tend to think about pretty much the same stuff every single day. The same stuff about the marriage, the same stuff about the ex-wife, the same stuff about the business. And we get in these ruts and we find ourselves obsessing almost on these same things over and over. You got to break that pattern. And to do that, you got to carve new neural pathways, new habitual thoughts. And that comes from outlining your dreams and reviewing them on a daily basis. Let me give you a brief example. The very first thing on my list that hung on that wall of my cell was that I'm an awesome father to my son. At the time, I had a 3-year-old son that I had fathered when I was out on parole. I went to prison. I abandoned my son. I was not a good father. But I had this dream of being a great father one day. And every day I would review that. I'm an awesome father to my son. I would visualize my son and visualize me and having a great relationship. Well, 7 years later, I walk out of prison. My son is 10 years old when I get out. And I get custody of him. And I raised him until he was a teenager, until he was 18 years old and went off to college. When my son went off to college, I didn't want to have a big emotional situation. I wanted him to go off and to be happy. And we took him up. He was going to the University of Colorado and walked in, parked in front of the dorm that he was going to be living in his first year, and walked to the dorm. And this lady checks him off of a list. And she turns to my son and she says, "Mandatory housing meeting 3:00. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, we'll be here." She says, "Oh, no, you won't." At 3:00, he's a grown man, no parents allowed. And suddenly it hits me that this is a big day. I'm leaving him here, right? And so we go to Target, get the things he needs for his dorm. We spend the day on campus getting him signed up for classes. And about 2:45 that afternoon, we come back to the dorm. And I get out the driver's side. My son gets out the passenger side. He's getting a few things out of the back of my car. And I'm just so proud of him. And you know, he's going off to college. And I give him a big hug. And when I'm hugging my son, I said, "Son," I said, "my greatest dream for you is that one day you will have a son that you love the way I love you, because that's the only way you're going to know what it feels like to be a dad, to be your dad." Of course, he was 18 years old. There's kids all over the place. He's very embarrassed. He kind of shrugs away from me. And I put my hands on his shoulders and I said, "Son," I said, "words cannot even describe how much I love you and how proud I am of the man that you've become." And my son looks at me, and he takes my hands off of his shoulders. He puts them down by my side, and he puts his hands on my shoulders. And my 18-year-old son leans into me. He says, "No, Dad, I'm proud of the man you finally became." And that moment with my son was beyond perfection. It was the closing of the circle of everything I wanted in my life. But the most amazing thing, Gene, is that the way it felt with my son in that moment, the mutual love, the mutual respect, the mutual recognition that, hey, we made it, mm-hmm. is that it felt the same way that it felt 15 years earlier when I was in a prison cell pretending it. Mm-hmm. And that's what Napoleon Hill meant by a burning desire. That's what I mean by an emotional commitment. You got to be so deeply emotionally committed to your dreams that it feels real when you're reading them, just as real as it will 2 years, 5 years, or in my case, 15 years later, right, when it actually happens. That's what I mean by an emotional commitment.
Connected. Well, I've thought about that part of your story so often. I've thought about your list that you had in your cell. I've thought about by the time you got out, you were so ready for action because you had already been doing that for all of the years. And what I think is so key here for people to understand that you getting focused and you have an emotional connection to your goals, it doesn't just change your life. It changes other people's lives, you know, because it's when you have those kinds of emotional connection to those goals, it's not just in your life. It's in your relationships. It's in your business. And anything that's going to be good for you to show up, there's a ripple effect, and it's going to have life-changing implications for those around you too. So you making that and you having that emotional connection to your dreams and the kind of father you wanted to be literally changed your son's life. It's going to change the kind of husband he is, the kind of father he is, kind of, entrepreneur, whatever your son's going to go after.
Right.
And so I think that should be encouraging to all of us that first, it's never just about us. And just, I love this part of your story because it really impacted, and we can see firsthand how it impacted your son so much also.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
We know what it's like to feel like a deer in headlights, searching in the dark for help and direction. It can be overwhelming, frustrating, and isolating to feel like you have no help steering a business that isn't taking you where you want to go. It's possible for you and your business to thrive. For the past 12 years, we have grown from a small Etsy shop to a large creative network with over 50,000 members, all while ensuring our business is a bridge to our dream life, not a barrier. We've taught thousands of business owners how to intentionally align their business with how they want their life to look and feel. We can teach you too. Go to creativelymadebusiness.com and start today. The third thing that you talk about is consistent actions. One of the quotes from you, it's the small and seemingly inconsequential decisions we make a million times over the course of our lives that determine our destiny. Because I think so often we think it's the big things in front of other people or the things that people want to celebrate, but really to have true success in your life and in your business and in your relationships, it's not the big days. It's the every day. Can you talk about this and what that looks like?
Yeah. So, the bottom line is that it's like kind of the Will Rogers quote, right? That even if you're on the right track in life, you'll get run over if you just sit there. You got to take consistent action. And again, like you mentioned, it's not about the scope of the actions. It's about the consistency of the actions, the little things in business that we do every single day, right? The phone calls, the sales call, the operations activities, the little things we do on a consistent basis, because it's those little things that eventually will accumulate, to kind of build our lives. One of the examples I use, right? So, if you get your paycheck and you got to make a decision, am I going to spend this paycheck and go to Las Vegas and have a party, or am I going to save 10%? Well, whichever decision you make, it's a small decision. A weekend in Vegas, save 10%, right? Whichever decision you make, you kind of build a little piece of your financial life in that decision. So 20 years from now, we can't look at our lives and say, well, how did I get in this financial situation, good or bad, right? It's not a mystery. It's not an accident. It's simply the accumulation of every small decision that we made about money over the course of our careers. So people often look, like you say, at the big things, but it's the little things over and over and over. I'll give you an example. So, how long have we known that smoking's bad for our health, mm-hmm. right? 100 years. And yet people smoke every single day. And smoking a cigarette is the ultimate, what I call a seemingly inconsequential choice. It's just one cigarette. It's not going to hurt me. But imagine taking the most average smoker that you know and give them 2,000 cigarettes at one time. And, you know, would they smoke 2,000 cigarettes at one time? Of course not. And if you ask them why not, they'd say, well, it'd make me sick. It might kill me. Yeah. Smoking 2,000 cigarettes, you know, can make you sick and kill you. But 2,000 cigarettes at one time will make you sick. But guess what? 2,000 cigarettes, one cigarette at a time, will also make you sick. It just takes longer. Mm-hmm. So the key is that we got to make the same decisions with respect to our business, our money, our success, whatever, in the small moments as we would in the big moments, right? In the 2,000 cigarette moments. You got to make the same decision when it's one cigarette. Another thing to keep in mind about action, which I think is really important, is there's kind of a driver of human behavior called cognitive dissonance, right? And dissonance is simply the anxiety we feel when we don't do something we said we would do, right? Because as humans, we like to keep our word. And if we don't keep our word, we kind of get this anxious feeling. Well, imagine this scenario. Imagine that you get up every morning and you read your prosperity plan, right? And you outline, you know, here's what I do each day on my business, and here's what I do each day on my money, and, you know, here's what I do each day on whatever part of my life. And then you go out that day and you do something opposite. You do the opposite of that thing. Your body's going to feel dissonance, anxiety. Why? Because you told yourself this morning in what I call a quiet time ritual when you're reviewing your plan, you told yourself you're going to live your life a certain way. And if you go out there and do something different, you're going to have anxiety. And what happens, that anxiety eventually starts driving the new behaviors. Mm-hmm. So that your behaviors are consistent with that plan that you have on the wall of yourself, right, or wherever you have it, right? And once the actions become, you know, kind of in alignment with the plan, the results are pretty much certain.
Well, and I think it's so important for people to realize, and you are stating it, that this is a daily ritual you still do to right. have those daily affirmations, and to that you are speaking into yourself about what you want in your relationships and in your business and in your life, and then walking mm-hmm. it out. And yep. I think it really comes back to even like your fourth big step is personal responsibility. And I think this is one of my favorite of all of them, because you talk about this prosperity mindset and you talk about what a huge impact it had and it has. But I want to tell everybody just quickly, I remember when you came and spoke at our first live business workshop. And I think of this so often because it was, I think, life and heart changing for the women that were there. You asked them what they think of salespeople. And so what was so interesting, Wally asked everybody, what do you think about salespeople? Write those things down. And then he had everybody give their answers, which I'm sure you've asked this to thousands of people. And people came back and said, slimy, manipulative. One person even said evil. And yeah. And so the thing about mindset and what you were trying to state to them is, so you're supposed to be selling your product or service or your experiences, and this is how you think about sales. No wonder you're having a hard time selling.
Right. Total conflict.
It's a conflict. And so I'd like to discuss our limiting mindsets and how we're responsible for the narrative we play in our minds and the negative or positive ways that they're impacting our thoughts and actions and results. Not surprising, I have another quote of yours that I love, and it says, when you change your thoughts about sales, you change your emotions. When you change your emotions about sales, you change your actions. And when you change your actions in sales, you change your results. And I have to say, this whole sales issue is something I hear constantly from right. people that come for business consulting and even live business workshops. And so I would really like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I think it kind of starts with the discussion of, you know, what drives our behaviors. And if you, you know, look at some basic neurology, when you have a thought, it sends a signal across your brain to a part of your brain called the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus then secretes a chemical that triggers the emotion. So the thought triggers the emotion chemically in our brain. Once we have an emotion, we take some action. Of course, those actions produce results. The scary part of this is that our emotions and our actions are always a reflection of our core thoughts, our core beliefs. But the scary part is the emotions and actions are a reflection of the thoughts, even if the thought is wrong or inaccurate. Mm-hmm. So we can believe things that are not true and produce very real emotions, very real actions, and very real results. We call it a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And so you can think non things are not true, things are negative, and it will produce emotions, actions, and results. And it's why our mothers always said, be careful what you wish for. Right? Instinctively, we all kind of know this stuff. And so what happens is that you have to look at your core thoughts, because some of those thoughts, as you mentioned, are limiting beliefs, what I call junk in the trunk. They're ideas that other people put in our head, ideas that maybe family or society or, you know, when you come into this world as a baby, you got a clean slate. You don't have any preconceptions about money or relationships or sales or anything. You're just a clean slate. But then if you go through life, you start observing and hearing things from other people, and they start loading you up with their junk. They're junk in your trunk. And so what happens, next thing you know, you're 20, 30, 40 years old, and you're basically reaching in your brain and pulling out decisions that other people put in there 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
So you have to make sure that the beliefs that you have in your head are consistent with what you want today. The example that you mentioned, right? If our core belief is salespeople are crooks, but out here today, I need to grow my business and get good at selling my product and my knowledge. Well, there's a conflict right there. So we have to make sure that the ideas in our heads are consistent with what we want out here as adults every single day. Mm-hmm. That's the main purpose for the quiet time ritual. As you read your plan every single day, you are literally putting those things in your head, right? About your business, about your life today. And what happens when you go out and make all those small decisions you were talking about, those seemingly inconsequential decisions, now you reach in your box in your head and you pull out the decision that you made this morning, not something somebody else put in there 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of limiting beliefs about money, sales, relationships, wealth, all these different things in life. You have to make sure that your core beliefs are consistent with what you want today. And sometimes our core beliefs or someone else's beliefs. And this process we've been talking about, this fear process, can change your core beliefs to be what you want it to be, not what somebody else put in there 30 years ago.
So how do you help people to know what to identify as a limiting belief system? That, because if you believe it, right? Because I believe that you, well, even in the live workshop, after you had everybody's feedback, after you said that about sales, you actually used me as an example and you said, well, Jean sold to you. You are all here because she closed this deal, but you said it a little differently than that, Wally.
Right.
And the funny thing was, you said, did she do something evil? Did she do something manipulative? Did she do something that felt slimy?
Right.
For you to buy this and to come and to have this experience. So what are some of the things that right now that we could be aware of? Because we all have them.
Yep.
We all have limiting mindsets in certain areas. And like you said, so often they're from someone else and it's something that we've been believing to be true.
Yep.
And we've been carrying it around. So like, do you have a couple of things that would really help people to be aware and to kind of to be able to stop and analyze that?
You know, you kind of knit the nail on the head. They're hard to find because the limiting beliefs have been in there so long that in many cases they become truth to us and we actually believe them. So here's one of the ways that I teach people to kind of identify the limiting beliefs. And it takes some introspection. It takes some real work to do it. But if there's something in your life that you want, like to build a successful business, to become wealthy, and you're willing to do the work and you work at it for years and years and years, and you're trying to do it, but you just can't seem to get there. Like every time you get close to that brass ring, you just miss it. If there's something in your life that you really want, relationship, money, doesn't matter what it is, running a marathon, doesn't matter what it is, but you just can't seem to do it, there's a really good chance that there's a limiting belief in here that's holding you back. It's yanking the rug out from you right at the last second, right? It's like a woman I had one time in one of my workshops. She wanted to build a successful business, her and her husband. And her father, much like my father, didn't like wealthy people. Her father used to tell her when she was a child, that rich people were crooks and that she should embrace the struggle. The struggle is real, honey. Embrace the struggle. And the message she got from that, from her father, was that the struggle was to be respected and rich people were somehow bad, negative, right? Well, here she was 30 years later trying to build a business, and she couldn't understand why for 10 years she and her husband couldn't be successful. And so finally I asked her, I said, what's your main financial goal? She said, well, we want to retire at 50 years old. They were in their mid-30s. I said, well, that's a good goal. You can build your business and sell it in 15 years. I said, but what do you got to be to retire at 50? And she couldn't figure it out. And I finally said, well, you got to be rich, don't you? She goes, yeah, you got to be rich to retire at 50. And so she turned to her husband. She said, honey, we're going to be rich. We're going to retire at 50. And then I asked her, I said, so now you want to become the thing your father hated the most? A rich person? You told me earlier you wanted to make your father proud. Seems to me like you've been making your dad proud with the struggle.
That's right.
And so there was this conflict in her brain between her dad's belief about money and wealth and what she was willing to do with her husband to build a successful company, but there was a total conflict. And those are the kind of limiting beliefs that hold people back. And Gene, I'll tell you this, that in many cases, the limiting belief is like a hand from the grave, mm-hmm. because the person that put that in here is dead and gone, but we still hear the same voices. So you gotta really do the work and look at the things you want in life. Why don't you have them? And then look at the events in your life that developed your core beliefs around that topic. And in many cases, you'll find something that's holding you back. And sometimes it can help talking to other people. But I always caution people, don't talk to people too close to you, because your brother and your sister, they probably have the same limiting beliefs you do. Go talk to a friend who's accomplishing what you want to do.
That's right.
They'll tell you through discussion, well, here's what I've noticed about your behavior, right? Whatever that thing is. But it takes some work, but when you find out what those limiting beliefs are, it's liberating, right?
Well, because you're free to go on and pursue what you want to pursue. That
What's
most
that?
Likely, even with your own father,
yep.
what was probably poured into him was somebody else in his life and their limiting beliefs. And
absolutely.
Just well, repeating it without stopping it. Right?
It was my grandfather who lived through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
What did people learn in the Great Depression?
Right.
Rich people are crooks. We had a name for them, robber barons. So my grandfather believed rich people were crooks. He put that in my dad's head.
Right.
My dad put that in my head. In fact, I can remember my father saying things like to me, like, who do you think we are, the Rockefellers? Or who are the Rockefellers?
Right.
They were the rich people in the Great Depression. So it goes from generation to generation to generation. You have to become aware of it. The bottom line is, as I often say, we go through life thinking all day long, thinking about this, thinking about our family bills, thinking about work, whatever. Thinking. But we don't spend enough time thinking about what we think about before we think. Mm-hmm. You got to analyze, what are my habitual thoughts? What am I thinking about? And think about those things before you just go out in your life thinking about it. Because those thoughts are driving your emotions, your behaviors, and your results. You better make sure your core beliefs are consistent with what you want today as a grown woman, as a grown man building your business, not consistent with something somebody else wanted 30 years ago.
Yeah, so good, Wally. You've been in business for years, and that time you've seen business change in many different ways, so including social media, technology, and even how we connect easier and faster with our customers. I believe your key principles that we've talked about today, I think they're timeless. I think that that doesn't change at all. But in what ways is your business different today because of things like social media and even the technology changes?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, your customers, I don't care what business you're in, they are more sophisticated than ever. Mm-hmm. And they have access to more information than ever through the internet. It used to be 10 years ago, if I was selling my sales training or one of the products from a company that I own, I had all the information. The prospect had to call me to get the information. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now the customer in many cases knows as much or more about our product and service than we do because they've done their research. Mm-hmm. So what that means is a couple of things. Number one, sales tactics that worked 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, more high pressure stuff won't work because people understand it. They're sophisticated. And by the way, they will light you up on the social media review sites if you do it. So what it means to me is that we have to learn to give value first, build the relationship, add the value, and then kind of come back and ask for some business. You know, it's kind of the strategy of you know, jib, jab, right? You got to give, then you ask for the order. You got to make sure people expect free content now. They expect free trials. They expect free experiences before they commit to you. And I think that's more important than ever. I think the relationship, despite the digital divide and the difficulty it raises sometimes in relationships, and the relationships are built differently now, that's through video and through, you know, other aspects, but the relationship is more important than ever, I believe, because people have to trust you. Everything is so hyper-competitive, right? There's a million guys out there that do what I do for a living. But I have authenticity with my audience because I provide lots of free value, and they understand, they try the techniques and they work. And then they come back and say, hey, we'll hire you for this or hire you for that. But it really is about giving people experience and focusing way more on high service and high pressure just because people are so sophisticated these days. They have so much information. They don't need to call me. They know everything they want to know about their product or what they're going to buy before I get there. What they're trying to find out is, who should I buy it from? Who can I trust? Mm-hmm. It's more important than ever.
Wow. Thanks, Wally. So where can, if people want to learn more about you or connect with you in any way, yep. how can they find you?
Simplest way is a website, weldonlong.com, WELDONLONG, weldonlong.com. Of course, weldonlong on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media sites are out there. So, you know, I'm easy to find. You go to the website and you can find out information about our programs and books, or just connect with me and have a chat, you know, and it's pretty easy to find.
Well, and the power of consistency truly is an incredible, not just a business tool. I think it's a life tool. I think there's just key components here that anybody can use at any stage of their business. And so I know that our business class, this is the recommended reading for the first module, because I think it's that important. I think it's the perfect way to start off the modules. And so, Wally, thank you so much. Thank you for what you put out. Thank you for how you inspire so many. And just thank you for all the ways that you have truly mentored and guided us.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and your family and watching your business grow. And I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks so much, Wally. Thank you.
I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to jeanoliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at jeanoliver.com, where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. We have over 150 courses from teachers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week. Don't forget to let us know what you thought of this week's podcast, and make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.